Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. It's a brand new week, Monday, the 19th of May, 2025, and this is program number 1373 of the lunchroom. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. Now, in addition to radio, 101.1 FM, you can also get us at our website, rcisaintlucia.com, and we are also streaming live on Facebook. You just have to search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International. And you can get that link right there. Please like and share it as well with your friends and family. The number to call in to tell us what's on your plate today, it is 452-3046. Again, 452-3046. If you also want to reach us via WhatsApp, you can do that. And that is 724-0008. You can message in. You can call in as well on WhatsApp. Again, that number, 724-0008. In just a bit, we're going to be speaking about the St. Lucia Sports Academy and their successes thus far. And, of course, encouraging individuals who have aspiring sports athletes and personalities out there who want to ensure that they get a good footing for their children. It's a great opportunity. And we're going to be speaking about the St. Lucia Sports Academy in just a bit with some students there as well as the public relations officer at the Academy. But first, we want to send out some birthday greetings to Mr. Yuri Haynes today. Happy, happy birthday to you, Yuri. Hope you're having a fantastic birthday celebration. Also sending best wishes and birthday greetings to Miss Sherianne Kajada. Happy, happy birthday to you. Hope you're having a fantastic day. And also to Mr. Hilary Morissette. Happy birthday to you, sir. And we do hope that you're enjoying your very special day. A look back in time, a bit of history on this day. Back in the year 1536, Anne Boleyn, the second wife of English King Henry VIII, was beheaded at the Tower of London on charges of adultery, incest, and treason. In the year 1885, German Chancellor Otto von Bismarck took possession of Cameroon and Togoland in part as part of the Great Rush for Africa. In the year 1898, the U.S. Congress passed the Private Mailing Card Act, allowing private publishers and printers to produce postcards, which had to be labeled private mailing cards until 1901, and are now known as souvenir cards. And in the year 1919, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk landed at Samsun on the Black Sea coast, beginning the Turkish War of Independence. We now move on to our dish of the day. The daily dish is brought to you by the kind compliments of our good friends at Taz Plus. One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Taz Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Taz Plus, Taz Plus, Taz Plus. Because if unbeatable cost, customer service, A plus, did all kind of tests. Come down to Taz Plus. We also collect glassware and vanity. Boss, boss, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best Taz on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bossage, Brazilian, Slack Street in Viewport. Telephone number 453-7939. Taz Plus.
Serving now, the Daily Dish.
And welcome back to our program here today at the lunchroom. And of course, we do hope that everybody's having a very blessed Monday back at work. And of course, just last week, we saw a number of students in grade 6 heading to the CPEA, the Caribbean Primary Exit Assessment, doing their examinations formally. The common entrance examinations, new form and new format, of course, in place. Generally looking at the assessment of students in sciences, well, in subjects such as mathematics and English, as well as general sciences, general paper and the like. Of course, the matter of sport is one which a lot of students have great interest in. And of course, from a very early age, from primary school, and there is now a St. Lucia Sports Academy, been in place for a good number of years now, and that is certainly an avenue available to many students who are in fact shifting into secondary school here in St. Lucia. And to tell us a lot about the Sports Academy and what they've been up to and the successes, the challenges, the hopes for the future as well, I'm so very pleased to have three representatives of the St. Lucia Sports Academy. Two of them are, in fact, students in the institution, as well as the public relations officer, member of staff at the St. Lucia Sports Academy, Miss Bernice Lewis. She is the public relations officer for the event here today. As well, we have two members of the National Under 19 Cricketers, as well as being part of the students, student body at the St. Lucia Sports Academy, Mr. Nathaniel Joseph and Mr. Zinaki Louis. And they both form four students at the SLSA. Welcome to the program. Thank you so very, very much for being our guest here today at the lunchroom. Ms. Lewis, thank you for coming in and, of course, for bringing these two gentlemen along with us. The St. Lucia Sports Academy, tell us a little bit about how it all started and how things have been are running now at the St. Lucia Sports Academy.
Thank you for having us. We're quite excited to be here. So the St. Lucia Sports Academy has definitely been making waves for the last 5 years that we've been in business. We have had one student who's taken gold at the Character Games in 2024, and she came back this year, 2025, to take a silver medal in the pole vault.
Pole vault, okay.
And so that's Naya Jones. She's on full scholarship to in New York, well, in the States. Mm-hmm. And we have other students, other athletes who are on partial scholarships. We have two footballers who are on partial scholarships.
So you're talking about graduates who've gone through the school already?
Yes, in 2024. Mm-hmm. And we have other students who are also being considered for partial scholarships from last year's graduation. So that would have been our first full graduation for the 5 years that we have been in existence.
Wonderful. Now, tell us about how a student would enter the St. Lucia Sports Academy, because clearly you're a bit of a different institution.
Yes.
You're not an ordinary secondary school, and you would find that many parents would be interested in perhaps finding an institution that maybe on the basis of proximity to where they live, or mm-hmm, perhaps mm-hmm. On the basis of some sort of the academic performance and history of the school,
right.
Or maybe the parent went to that school and so they want to send their children to that school. St. Lucia Sports Academy obviously is a new creature and is really trying to find its own niche at this point. So tell us, how would a student get into the Sports Academy?
So typically what we do is that our coaches recruit directly from the schools. We get word of, you know, the really good talent from the primary schools. That is ideally how we recruit our students. These two students were recruited that way as well. So we really want to get the word out there that even though the St. Lucia Sports Academy is not a list on the schools for CPA, it is a possibility for a child who is, number one, academic, because you need to have at least a 73% pass rate at CPA to attend a school. So it's not just, okay, I can kick a ball, I know how to play cricket, and I'm going. You still have to be a well-rounded, disciplined individual. So you need to be able to, because there are traditional subjects being done at the school. There's math, English, French, Spanish, food and nutrition, biology, chemistry, all the subjects. So students can choose from the sciences to the languages, whatever they feel that they're more, you know, comfortable with. And so they need to run. We run this academic program during the day. So from 8:30 to 2:45, students are engaged in academics. And we sit CXE. So a lot of people, you know, have these questions. Do they do CXE subjects? Do the students do? Is it just all sports? You know, we would like to run around all day playing sports. But that's not what we do at the academy. Students play. They train after school from about 3 until 5:30. There's also morning conditioning from 5:30 quarter to 6 almost every morning. So we run
5:30 to quarter to 6.
Yes, quarter to 7.
Quarter to 7.
We run a rigorous program. There's a gym where the students work out and they train and condition themselves. They're always doing 5Ks, you know, in the morning.
Wow.
Yes. You can see all our footage on our Instagram or our Facebook page, St. Lucia Sports Academy. We only have 105 students, and at Island Champs, we almost, I would say, dominated the competition because we took home the gold for the 4x4. But sadly, we were outnumbered by schools where there are about 600 athletes. But we held our own at Island Champs, and we even had a student who was 14 who went over to Carrefour to represent us in the 4x4 relay.
Wonderful, wonderful. And maybe I should get your students in a little bit. You guys, of course, Nathaniel, you're a Form 4 student at the St. Lucia Sports Academy. How long have you been in the school? You started off from Form 1.
Yes, sir.
Now, what has your experience been like at the St. Lucia Sports Academy?
It's been a good experience. I've learned a lot. Of course, we have challenges managing the sports in the school. Time off my schoolwork.
So you were already interested in cricket? That was your passion from primary school, I take it?
No, sir. I was interested in track first. And then when I entered Form 1, I put my focus on cricket.
Okay, so you actually made a transition away from your first interest in track. Very, very interesting. Maybe you'll have to tell us a little bit about that. Now, according to what Miss Lewis is saying, you have to wake up pretty early every day.
Yes, sir.
How is that? How is that experience of, you know, having to wake up so early, have a full, you know, do that morning training, then have a full day of school, and still have in the evening another set of programming for sports?
It was tiring at first, but then over the years I get used to it.
Has that been your same experience, Zanaki?
Yes, sir.
Now, tell us, going to this this school, were you also interested as well in where you are now? You know, I mean, you're also an under-19 cricketer. Were you always interested in cricket, or how did you?
Yes, I was always interested in cricket from a young athlete growing up. From my family, everybody was interested in cricket, so I grew up playing cricket.
Now, I imagine that one of the strengths of the St. Lucia Sports Academy, of course, is that you have specialized coaches for various areas. And, of course, in the area of cricket, tell us a little bit about the program that you're part of.
Well, the program that I'm part of, we train on Wednesdays early in the morning. We run 5K. After running 5K, we go fitness, the agility test from Coach Gary Maffrey. And after school, we do gym, a little fitness, and we go out and train on our physical skills.
So it's not really just about the actual cricketing skills per se, but the overall physical fitness is being developed.
Yes, sir.
And of course, you mentioned your coach, Gary Maffrey, who's also a former national player.
And a West Indies player.
West Indies player as well. So you're in some pretty good hands there. The competition that you, I mean, how many people are part of the cricket team or the cricket program at the academy?
Actually, we got 15 players. Yeah, so.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Now, maybe you might want to tell us about the other programs, Miss Lewis, because I imagine you also have a lot of other areas of focus as well. For instance, Nathaniel mentioned, he was interested in athletics coming in. But he segued into cricket. Tell us a little bit about maybe the athletics program as well.
Yes, so we also have a football program. Mm-hmm. And the boys just captured, well, actually they came second. Yeah, well, second time in a row winning the St. Lucia inter-school football competition.
Wonderful.
So they took that hands down. It was a very tough competition, especially with against SLSC, Sir Arthur Lewis Community College. And then we have the track, the athletics. These two groups are quite bigger than the cricket cohort, but track is just as rigorous. They get up in the morning. In fact, all the teams, they get up in the morning and do their morning conditioning. And then they have their regular training schedule where they're doing the gym, they're doing the circuit, they're doing the 5K runs and everything like that. And of course, The food nutrition is part of the program. The athletes are fed at the school. And we do have a dormitory. So a lot of our students come from the south area, actually. So, you know, commuting every day would not work out. So the school caters to students who need to sleep over and,
So they would be doing full through the, just the week,
yes,
or
Monday,
they can
Monday
go home
to Friday,
on weekends?
They go home on the weekend. They go home on the weekend.
Now, and in terms of how many students you actually have staying within the dormitories?
Probably about
75 students are actually staying on campus.
Yes, yes.
And so we'd be part of the program. And then, of course, others would come in.
Yes, because we do have students from the north and other parts, who can commute.
And tell us a little bit about that, of course, living away from home. Nathaniel, are you in the dorms or are you okay? Tell us a little bit about that experience. Having to deal with other people within your own age group, missing home. How has that been for you?
For more, it was hard going away from my mother. Because every day I was with her, it could be a change. But then throughout the years, I meet my friends. Easier to stay among other people and it's adaptive.
And the same for you, Zanaki?
Yes, sir.
Where are you guys coming from? What part of St. Lucia?
I'm from the constituency of Soufre Fontaine-Jacques.
Fontaine-Jacques, okay, and wonderful.
From Babono.
And Babono. So you're not too far away then, but you still chose to actually be there, of course, especially, I guess, waking up so early as well. It would be a challenge to fit in the program overall.
And there are academic programs being offered in the evening for the students. So some days we have special programs like math.
Okay.
Yes, and soft skills training sometimes. It depends on. So it's a very compact program we're offering at the school. And I think only the best students, only the most disciplined students can actually, you know, come in and get the best out of it and succeed and come up with at least a scholarship and, you know, look towards being part of the Olympics, because that is what many of our athletes are working towards, at least those in the athletics. And our boys here are trying to make it to the West Indies, you know, senior team. Mm-hmm. So that's where it starts, you know.
Any favorite players that you want to emulate?
Mitchell Stark.
And anybody else? Are you? What about you, Zanaki?
The great Baba Azam.
Okay, it's an interesting choice there, indeed. And of course, you say you have three major programs: cricket, football, and athletic track. And track. And in terms of other sports, as at the moment, do the students also get a general exposure?
Yes, they
to
do.
A variety of sports in the program.
They do. Everybody does PE, so in PE, students are exposed to basketball, volleyball. I mean, I'm into volleyball, so sometimes I show them a thing or two to serve and everything. So while they're, you know, semi-expert in cricket, you know, I'm still showing them a thing or two in volleyball. And they take quite nicely to those new sports. And who knows, you know, you can switch. Who knows where your talent is. So we expose them to everything. And we do have a table tennis champ who just transferred to our school in Form 2.
Okay.
She's been winning everything in the regional games.
Okay, wow, wonderful. So, and in terms of the facilities, tell us a little bit about that. Available in terms of the sporting facilities?
I would say our sporting facilities are quite up there. It's not that we don't need some work. We don't need some help from, you know, sponsors out there, because our auditorium is in dire need of repair. It's been around for a while. And so I'll just put a pin in there that we do need some funding. You know, maybe $500,000.
Now, I remember at one point there was actually a volleyball setup within the auditorium.
Yes. That is still there.
Okay.
It's still there. We still have the mats for volleyball you know, to soften the fall. But we're in need of doors, windows, lights, lots of things in the auditorium.
Right.
But otherwise, we have a fully equipped gym. We've just got some equipment for the gym.
Mm-hmm.
We have a physio room. We have a computer lab that just got donated 25 new laptops.
Okay.
Because, you know, our students are very techie, and this generation, they can't do without their phones. They can't do without the tech. So.
And they need to learn through as well in terms of, you know, actually yes. watching and seeing techniques and all of mm-hmm. that.
So and of course, some of them may go beyond just athletics or sports to work in traditional jobs.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean that because you are an athlete, you can't be equipped in other skills. So we need to teach them a range of other skills as well.
How is the Sports Academy connecting? I mean, you mentioned very early on about the scholarship opportunities for your students. How are you actually doing those types of connections with higher level, you know, tertiary institutions?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a teacher who is specifically responsible for making those connections with the schools abroad. She's been doing that for a while. I think she herself, as a younger athlete, was a recipient of a scholarship to Cuba. So she knows the value of, you know, sports and where it can, I mean, you can save thousands of dollars in university fees. So she's mm-hmm. the liaison for getting those scholarships for our students.
Okay, wonderful. Now, of course, in the area of cricket, what, Nathaniel, maybe you could tell us, what is your area of specialization? Where are you bowling, batting? You're an all-rounder?
So I'm a bowling all-rounder, right-arm pitch, batting left-handed.
Okay, wonderful. And any of your successes thus far you'd like to point out? Any 5 wicket hauls? Any, yes, you know?
I have 3 5-wicket hauls in my career. Recently, I scored a half century in the semifinals in the schools and the night cricket tournament.
Wonderful, good stuff. And Zinaki, how about you?
I'm a left-hand opening batsman and a right-hand off-spinner.
Okay, so some off-spin coming up there. That's pretty good stuff. And any successes you'd like to talk about?
Well, I made my team win in the last game against South Ashes, the Central, and I made my team go through the finals.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Great stuff indeed. Thank you so very much, Zinaki. And Ms. Lewis, before we actually close, of course, how does one, I mean, as a parent who might be listening, who might want to find out more about the Sports Academy, they're seeing their student, their son, their daughter having a lot of potential, and they want to get involved. How do they do that?
Right. So our direct number to call is 724-6963. 724-6963. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, we are on Instagram and Facebook at the St. Lucia Sports Academy. The bio page, the link for the document to sign up,
right.
The registration,
yeah, yes.
is right there in our bio. The link to that is in our bio. We don't have a fully equipped website yet, but that's coming soon. But you could just reach out to the front desk, the administrative personnel there, and they will give the parents more information.
Fantastic, fantastic indeed. Now, in terms of the school moving forward, I mean, how unique is this sports academy in the Caribbean?
Very unique.
Are you potentially going to get students coming in from outside, do you think?
I think that's the aim. Like one of our coaches was saying, we have a coach from Cuba, our track coach. Every parish in Cuba has a sports school. So we are kind of behind mm-hmm. in the whole idea of, you know, a sporting school. I think that's where we need to go. We need to have quite a few different schools catering to different talents for our youth, because there are a lot of children who are just, you know, bogged down by the traditional way of teaching those subjects that, you know, like, when will I use Pythagoras theorem? They just think it's not practical. What am I learning these things for? I want to be able to put what I am learning into good use and, you know, see the value in it. And a lot of our students are not seeing the value in what they're being taught. So we really need to, you know, open our eyes and our ears to actually give them what they want.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of math in sports as well. Hopefully that'll come in and be integrated indeed. And as well, of course, before we close off, the whole focus on the St. Lucia Sports Academy, how many staff do you have? I mean, you mentioned, of course, that you have a lot of coaches. Mm-hmm. But what's the staff complement like?
I believe there would be something about 30 okay. teachers and coaches on staff.
And then, of course, you also have sort of like stewards, I assume, people yes. who are staying on
yes.
campus.
And we have adjunct staff who come in to help with the academic programs in the evening
mm-hmm.
and adjunct staff, sports coaches as well. So we have 3 full-time sports coaches, but we also have secondary coaches who come in to help on the afternoon.
And I suppose it's a pretty good benefit in terms of your location, proximity to the Darren Sam Cricket Ground yes. and the indoor sports facility. Mm-hmm. And then I think
and even
upcoming
the
Grosley
football field.
All right, the Grosley football field is like mm-hmm. a 5-minute walk away or so.
Yes.
And as well, the any swimming program as yet?
Not yet.
Okay. But I suppose that would be the hope as well to have some
yes.
exposure in that
regard. That was supposed to have been started this year, but we had some minor hiccups. So we're and tennis as well.
And
so
tennis.
They're supposed to be going to the tennis facility. So
wonderful. Well, the St. Lucia Sports Academy, it is certainly a very good option available for students, and you accept individuals, not just in Form 1, but...
Yes, we do. We accept transfers as well.
Transfers
yes.
from existing schools.
But this year, we were looking for a good number to come into our Form 1 group this year. So, you know, hopefully parents can, from this interview, they can inquire and, yeah.
Once your child has 73%,
yes.
you could consider making that
yes.
Switch. I know we didn't quite talk about finances. Is that something that is there a
it's like cost any in? Normal school, any normal secondary school, facilities fees.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty okay. much it.
But that's it. So it's like a public secondary
that's
institution.
Correct. That's correct. Yes.
Okay. Wonderful.
That's correct.
Wonderful news, and so very good to hear about the program going on there. 109 students, of course, many more hopefully to get scholarships in the years to come. And, of course, we want to thank especially the 2 students who have joined us, Mr. Zinaki Louie and Mr. Nathaniel Joseph, both Form 4 students mm-hmm. and members of the National Under-19 Cricket Team. And, of course, the Public Relations Officer of the St. Lucia Sports Academy, Ms. Bernice Lewis. Any parting words for the public of St. Lucia?
Yes, so I believe the school is doing phenomenally well. I mean, just look at Island Champs and the, I think we came, let me tell you exactly, 2nd in the girls and 4th in the boys overall with 105 students. Mm-hmm. So with a little more resources financial, we have some great programs that are currently going on, like mindset development. You know, as athletes, our students need to be able to, you know, channel, you know, the right thoughts psychologically and be prepared for, you know, when you lose a game, it takes a lot on you, you know. So it's quite a rigorous program and you have to be there mentally for the academics and the sporting discipline. So I think we are well poised to give birth to our next Olympian. So we're really looking forward to that.
Well, it's a very exciting time, of course, in St. Lucia and all that
exactly.
we're seeing going on
exactly.
In the field of athletics, in cricket, in football and other sporting areas. So certainly we do hope that we can see the St. Lucia Sports Academy leading in that way. Thank you so very much for
coming
in.
Thank you for having us
on The Lunchroom. And that has been our Dish of the Day.
This has been The Daily Dish.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need tests for your balcony. Come down to Test Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Test Plus, Test Plus, Test Plus. Big test, you can beat double cost. Customer service, A plus. Leave all kind of tests. Come down to Test Plus. We also got gasoil and vanity. Boss, boss, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best test on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street Industries, Bosses, you Grozy Lakes, Black Street in Deerfoot. Telephone number 453-7939.
Island star, yeah. We got the time to make you go. We got the time to make you say, yeah. We'll have to make the right choice.
Twisters and growls. Everything you need is on the outside. For the best price and the latest style, take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. Quality, price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
us at our showrooms in Belarus and Rodney Bay on the John Crompton Highway, Cass Street, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Viewfort Highway. So call us on 450-452 or 453-TILE. Island Style, Tan and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
And that's all, of course, on 1.1. It's now time for your weather report as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Star Kalemba. Forecast for St. Lucia Valley for the next 24 hours. Winds will be blowing from between the east and east-southeast near 18 miles per hour or 30 kilometers per hour. The weather partly cloudy to cloudy at times with scattered showers, some of which may be heavy and a chance of isolated thunderstorms. There is an advisory here which reads that residents and motorists in areas prone to flooding and landslides are advised to be vigilant and exercise caution. Also, small craft operators and sea beavers are advised to exercise caution due to above normal seas. The forecast for the Les Antilles is partly cloudy to cloudy at times with widely scattered showers, which may be locally heavy and a chance of isolated thunderstorms. And the weather summary: low level moisture and instability enhanced by an upper level trough system will continue to cause cloudiness, scattered showers, and possibly isolated thunderstorms over the Lesser Antilles during the next 24 hours. A tropical wave located over the far eastern tropical Atlantic is moving westward near 9 miles per hour or 15 kilometers per hour. And this was the weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Talemba.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Island Style. We got the time to make you go. We got the time to make you say, yeah. We'll have to make the right choice. Island Style. Whoa.
Spaces and ground. Everything you need is on the house out. For the best price and the latest style, take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say,
visit us at our showrooms in Belarus and Rodney Bay on the John Crompton Highway, Cass Street, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Viewfort Highway. So call us on 450-452 or 453-TILE. Island Style, Tan and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
And welcome back to the lunchroom here at Radio Caribbean International. Of course, the number to call in to tell us what's on your plate today. It is 452-3046. 452-3046. You can also call into our WhatsApp number. That is 724-0008. Again, 724-0008. Now, of course, there's been, as always, a lot of different interests in terms of the politics of St. Lucia. And quite recently, there seems to be, at least on the matter of Facebook posts in that space, quite a lot about the Huenora International Airport. Now, the airport, of course, has been around for a good number of years, since the 1970s, and it's as an international airport. Prior to that, it was formerly a U.S. Air Base, Beanfield, which was built back in the 1940s, and it was upgraded back in the 1970s, and a new terminal was built, as well as what really defined this new airport was the extension of the runway, extending it from 5,000 feet to 9,000 feet to ensure that it had sufficient length to be able to accommodate what were effectively the largest planes at the time, the 747s, and of course allowing it then to do long haul trips, connections to North America, Europe, and beyond. It was upgraded in 1993. The terminal building was expanded, and then as well, some additional parking apron was constructed to the east of the existing terminal. And since then, of course, since that time, we've seen a significant shift in the airlift, you could say the profile of the airlift into the country. We have been running two airports for a pretty long while here in St. Lucia. George Charles Airport, formerly VG Airport, was in fact the first commercial private public airport in St. Lucia, and it too was extended over the years, involving reclamation, involving cutting of hills, to be able to create a longer runway, I think roughly about 6,300 feet of runway. Much shorter than the Huonora International Airport, and still, of course, largely used to handle regional aircraft, although they had been in the past as well attempts to also have flights using BWIAs, some of their planes coming in and landing at that airport. But of course, a very tight fit, and for quite some time, it has been seen to be a lower category of airport in terms of the type of aircraft it can in fact handle. And even now, I think perhaps it is in fact handling aircraft that are perhaps even aged not to be able to, should not really be landing at George Charles. And so the importance of Huonora International Airport has grown over the years. And of course, one of the major reasons for that is that we've also been seeing a significant rise in visitors coming extra regionally, coming from further afield, and in particular out of the United States of America. That being said, even within the region, you have seen some runways, airports, which are similar in characteristics with the George Charles Airport, actually currently being utilized to handle flights out of the eastern seaboard. And in particular, I'm speaking of the former Melville Hall Airport, or now the, is it the Douglas Charles Airport, which is about the same length in of runway in the northeast side of Dominica. And the efforts there of late have been effectively to seek out a certain type of aircraft that airlines are actually now utilizing, the C-100s and C-300s, that in fact are designed to be able to do these shorter runways. And so those flights accommodate over 100 passengers, but can still also make that distance between Miami and Dominica, as well as Atlanta, and potentially even, I believe, New York. So it is certainly an interesting state of play in that they are actually able to do that with respect to the existing runway in that location, even though they in fact are constructing a new international airport just north of that existing airport in the area of Wesley in Dominica. And that of course would be able to accommodate planes similar to what in fact we are able to do here in St. Lucia. It certainly does show the importance, however, in terms of airports, that the runway is sometimes a forgotten element, but the most significant element in any airport services. You certainly do have to have your airside services in place. And it's not often seen as the glamorous aspect. We often think, and we've been hearing so much conversation over the past years about the HIA redevelopment. And a lot of it has been about the terminal building, the terminal building, the terminal building. Because that's the glamorous, glitzy, you know, aspect of the facility in many instances. But the reality is that to ensure that you have a good functioning airport, you've got to ensure that you're doing the basics right. And you've got to ensure that the basics are in place with respect to such a facility. And there has been certainly a lot of work that is needed in respect of the runway at Hewanora International Airport. In the first instance, runway requirements now mean that you actually have to have hard shoulders. So the runway as we have it right now is only about, I think about 150 feet wide. And in fact, you require a wider space. Effectively, the width of the runway needs to be augmented. So on either side of the runway, you now effectively need shoulders, roughly in the order of 7.5 meters, I believe, on either end, which would eventually take you up to about 25 feet. It's a little bit more than that, actually. I think it's about 12.5 meters. So it's roughly about 50 feet on either side, I believe. So that effectively, you need a wider runway. You also have a situation where you have limitations on the eastern side of the runway due to the proximity of the end of the runway and the fence. And effectively, the fence is considered an obstacle in under ICAO standards. Now, we have a call coming in. I think we'll just try to take that call before we get any deeper into the conversation. Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchroom. And what's on your plate today?
Yes, good afternoon. I was listening to your discussion about airports. And I was wondering why we have not explored more the use of seaplanes as flight links between the islands. So in the Pacific and in Canada, they use like the twin otter planes outfitted with floats,
mm-hmm.
to as connections between over short distances. So we keep investing in airports, but then what about the possibility of exploring seaplanes for to link the islands?
Well, it's a very interesting point that you're making. In the case of, Radwe was originally a seaplane base.
Right.
That's how it was actually utilized. And that's why we have the ramp, which is the area mm-hmm. where they would actually pull up mm-hmm. the seaplanes out of the water. Seaplanes, the Maldives,
mm-hmm.
because they've got lots of these atolls, these islands. The way they set up is actually yes. They have their main airport
right.
close to the main island of Male, and I think they do use seaplanes to make some of those connections. But I suppose in the case of St. Lucia, are you referring to connections outside of St. Lucia, maybe?
Outside of St. Lucia, yes,
yeah. I mean, the challenge, I think, would probably be the sea conditions. That would probably be one of the challenges there in terms of the wave heights. That sometimes can be a challenge. So you do see seaplanes being utilized sometimes in lakes and
right.
Calmer waters. Or if you have like lagoons, very sheltered lagoons. Like as you may have in some of these coral atolls, but it's a little bit more challenging, I suspect, in our waters. So I guess the reliability issue might be one of the the challenges. And as well, I guess the technology just has not, well, it's not to say that you don't
have and it. In some cases, some of the otter type aircraft have been
The twin otters sometimes, right?
Yes, they have been outfitted of the amphibious type of thing, so they can land on the sea or on land.
That is correct. That is correct. Yeah, so you do have that option.
And at one time, Liad used to use twin otters, you know.
Liad did use twin otters. They've been phased out for the most part. I think maybe in the northern islands, you may still have some of those smaller airlines still running some of the twin otters into.
And I think there's a new company actually took over the twin otter business. So so it's the same design, but it's now a different company manufactures it. Then, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you I guess in the aviation business, you see trends, and sometimes the trends work out, and sometimes the trends don't work out. So, for instance, I think with Embraer, they're the ones who are producing these C-100, C-200 class of planes, which are doing the shorter runways. Which is a win for a place like Dominica in the interim because it can actually do those types of connections. But then you've also seen, for example, at one point I recall when we were talking about the Hewinor International Airport, the design plane that we were aiming for was going to be the A380, right? Mm-hmm. And we've seen how that A380 was the greatest talk of the town. It was supposed to be revolutionizing. Air trips.
That's the Airbus, right?
The Airbus A380, right? The double decker, four engine plane, largest. I mean, carrying well over 400 in some instances. I think up to 600 in some configurations, and that hasn't really panned out because a lot of the airlines are finding it makes sense on some of the routes, like the very long haul. Routes where you have a very big volume of movement, like let's say Heathrow to Dubai or something like that, or Heathrow Singapore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what you're finding, especially in the US market and in the European market, you're really looking for smaller planes that can do more point to point movements as well. So the idea of these major hubs and everybody connecting through these major hubs has kind of shifted a little bit. And so, you're seeing, Dreamliner class type in the 787s, becoming the more go-to for a lot of the airlines as opposed to the A380. So to the extent that the A380 is no longer in production and, we'll have to wait and see if there's gonna be anything close to that. It's like the Concorde too, remember?
Yep.
That's another good example. The idea of supersonic flight and the economics of it, unfortunately, never really made enough sense. And so, BA got into it, Air France got into it, and doing those North Atlantic crosses, Paris, New York, or London, New York, in 4 hours, but with only 100 passengers, the price point didn't really make much sense, running a effectively a first class 100-seat aircraft, right? So in the case of seaplanes, you never know. I'm not saying that it's going to be something that's, there's some areas where the application is possible, but there are, of course, challenges.
Yep.
I think in applying it in our instance as well. But not impossible. Not impossible. Yeah. Might be an interesting thing maybe for visitors, for tourists.
Exactly.
As sort of an attraction kind of,
Yeah.
But I don't know in terms of the actual movement of people, still a little bit of a challenge. Thanks for that, caller.
Okay, Mark.
All right then. Take care. And of course, it is something that we've been looking at in terms of the use of ferry services and, between our major centers. And again, it has to be looked at in terms of what is the distance that we're talking about and that is there a comparative land-based route that is not so much different than the other one. And so, of course, once you have that comparative land connection, then it's always likely to be a lot more cost effective as compared to marine based types of movement. Once you're speaking about marine travel, you are speaking about, of course, different types of conditions, lots of salinity, the wear and tear, the maintenance is a bigger challenge. And so it is certainly an area that you should be able to, we can look at for some instances, but perhaps not in all, because of the challenges that exist in terms of maintenance of these craft. So it still is a hope, one could say, perhaps in regard of the connection of islands. For example, we have seen in the case of St. Lucia, Martinique, there used to be a fair number of players flying that route. And of course, since the advent of the ferry service, the L'Express des Îles ferry service and other ferry services, you're seeing, of course, that it is seemingly not competitive anymore to actually run that George Charles to Aimé Césaire international route. And so therefore, as of now, we're not really seeing direct flights to Martinique, as far as I'm aware. You would have to perhaps fly to Barbados to make a connection to go to Martinique, even though it's only 12 minutes away. And so in some instances, you're seeing how ferries are, in fact, out, have priced out the route in question. But in other instances, it's going to be a little different, right? And if you look at, say, for example, a Barbados-St. Lucia connection by ferry, there may be a lot of different other considerations. The how the size of the vessel and how smooth the ride is going to be, and of course the timing of it it has to be looked at. So route planning is something that has to consider a lot of different factors in this regard. We have to continue the conversation about the Huenor International Airport, and hopefully we can do that tomorrow on another program of Lunchroom here at Radio Caribbean International. In the meantime, we do hope that you have a very blessed day and enjoy it. Take care.